Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
This piece has been brought to you by Bonnie Plants, bonnieplants.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food, we talk about music, with musical dudes, finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Back. He's back.
Snacky Tunes.
Man, that was a long cigarette run, my friend.
Good 3 months. I'm just out for a pack of smokes.
Every pack of smokes.
Be right back after 5 blizzards and like a couple debilitating
diseases. I wonder what the longest my dad stepped out for a pack of cigarettes but then actually came back length is.
I think anything after a night, it like goes somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't think like, I think like if he doesn't come back for 24 hours. And also, moms can go for cigarettes too. Mm. I think after 24 hours, it's kind of just
on
like
a very special Snacky Tunes.
Yeah. Mom goes out for cigarettes.
Mom goes out for cigarettes. Gregory, welcome back.
Thanks. Feels good to be back.
How's the pizza? As good as you remember?
Pizza is as good as, if not better. That was just Johnny Aries, who's going to be live in studio later, hanging out, playing some songs for us.
Can we shout out Roast Pork 218 Chinatown?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. For those who thought, if you ever think that you can get tired of eating Chinese food every day, you're absolutely wrong.
Like, yeah, quick question around the room. Favorite food without ever being actually put to the test?
You're like, you could eat every day. And never
yeah, what you think you could eat every day?
Cheeseburgers.
Soup dumplings.
Thai curry. Oh, Thai curry is a good one.
That's good.
Yeah. We spending 5 weeks in Chinatown, roast pork.
Like, every day. Literally.
I like Thai curry. I actually think Thai food would probably come a close second to Chinese food. Mm. But I guess you can't go to rehab in Thai town. Or it's a different type of rehab.
I don't think there's a Thai.
Oh, you've never been to Thai town, New York?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't exist.
It's a corner. It's smaller than Koreatown.
Yeah.
Well, we want to welcome, after that amazing banter, to the show.
I'm Rusty.
Mac, welcome from Mouthfeel Magazine.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey. Good.
Good.
You have a friend with you?
I do. Yeah, I brought one of my pieces of content from Mouthfeel Magazine.
Wow.
Yeah, he's just a piece of
content. Is that a new Facebook setting?
Yeah.
Right. Pieces of content.
This is, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Renato. I'm content. Okay. And I'm also one of the owners of Baked in Red Hook.
Love that place.
Thanks.
I used to date a girl, and I would wait for the 62 and get like a nice coffee and a treat on the way home.
Oh, perfect. That's why we're there.
Yeah.
for dating girls in Red Hook.
For dating girls in Red Hook and taking that bus ride home.
Yep. Before we get into the piece of content, let's give a little frame of reference. What is Mouthfeel?
Mouthfeel is a sort of a queer food magazine that I just started this year. We just launched our first issue in April.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
You look pretty good after giving birth.
Yeah.
For your first child,
Thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Where did the concept come from?
Well, I've been working in food for just about as long as I've lived in New York. And
what did you do?
Well, when I first got here, I was a dishwasher at a Daniel Boulud restaurant.
Hey, if you're going to wash dishes, wash for the best.
That's
am
what
I right?
said. Yeah.
Do you think you learned how to wash dishes in a special way there, or any tips?
It was very French.
So French.
It was so French.
They go counterclockwise.
Yeah.
Only.
And then, I worked in other front of house positions. I worked for Momofuku at the Chambers Hotel for a long time. And then I switched to coffee, and I worked for Blue Bottle Coffee for many years.
Let me tell you about Blue Bottle Coffee.
Somebody tell me.
It is the first cup of coffee where I went, oh, I get it.
Preach, right?
Just when I was going out to San Francisco a couple years ago, everyone just kept talking, just like, Blue Bottle, Blue Bottle, Blue Bottle. And I was like, guys, I'm not going to a coffee shop. And then I went, and I went, oh my.
Right.
It's got this roundness, like this feel in your mouth.
No, it's the mouthfeel.
That's the mouthfeel.
Talking about inspiration.
So from there, how did Mouthfeel come to existence?
Well, I kind of hang out with sort of foodie people, I guess, and I thought maybe the food world was missing kind of a queer angle on the food, tip.
Yeah.
Although there's a lot of gay people working in food, as you probably know. So I sort of just tapped into my social network, including Renato, who's sitting next to me. And I asked if I could do a few features on some of my friends. And I was just going to print them on newsprint or whatever was cheapest. And then I connected with some designers who kind of helped push it to a new level. So we have a pretty beautiful, oversized piece here.
Do you want to explain? I mean, it is radio, but do you want to explain kind of what comes with the magazine and kind of the shape and size of it?
Totally, yeah. So it's about 17 inches tall. And the pages are sort of... really nice kind of mixed quality paper in different colors. There's some dead stock, there's some glossy, there's some matte. And it comes with two fold-out size posters with original content on them. One is from a really funny poet from Vancouver, Daniel Zamparelli. And then one is sort of a love letter that comes from this guy, Robinson Muir, who's a good friend of mine, and he worked at the Spotted Pig for many years as a busboy. He has kind of an interesting sort of connection to that restaurant. And then we have an original recipe card on some pretty hard stock from Renato Polifito. It's a bundt cake.
Bundt cake.
It's a very sexy bundt cake. Yeah. And then we have some original pins, too.
Some cute pins.
They're very cute. Yeah, some are a little more graphic than others. But
like the design?
Yeah.
It's funny because we've had a lot of magazines or people come in, and we always just like, oh, it made you think that you could say something different, and I have to say this is different and actually does feel a niche.
Oh, cool.
What stories do you think, like, were, or what angle was being told in the kind of food magazine scene that you think Mouthfeel comes in? And
if I could follow up with that, are there any other magazines or publications that are telling queer stories in food?
To answer the first question, I think being gay, you just sort of live in this sort of marginalized world. There's a lot more people who have it worse than I do, sort of in that way, but I really connect with people who have stories in media about their experience, and one actually that inspired the zine and the part of the feature that's in is on Tyler Boring, who you guys know, who's been in here. He had a story in Butt Magazine about being a chef. It was a very small sort of piece, but it was about, he worked at a restaurant in Greenwich Village, I forget which one. But he talked a little bit about being gay in the restaurant industry and what that felt like to him. And And I remember really sort of responding to that article and thinking that, yeah, we should have more sort of content based on that, you know. Plus, it's a good way to, like, talk about people's sex lives.
Yeah.
Like, in print, you know.
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, being a business owner in the food and being gay, is there any difference, or is just everyone in the food world accepting, or is it just sort of like more of just the same where some people aren't, some people aren't?
You know, I think it's a little, some people are, some people aren't. You have to remember I'm in baking.
So right.
It's a little different, but, you know, it tends to.
Like what, they expect like a guy to be in baking to be gay?
Or? Yeah, pretty much.
And I didn't know that was a stereotype.
Yeah, where did that go?
Gay bake? Gosh, no, come on.
Is that why there are holes in donuts?
Oh, my. He really went there. Yeah, he really did.
But, you know, so for me in kind of like, you know, where I started to where I am now, I didn't have much of an issue, and I guess because it was my own business and I kind of created the environment that I wanted to work in. You know, I know that there are other issues. I'm sure you've had issues where you've been where it may not have been so homo-friendly.
Preach.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been lucky because I've created my own environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's in some ways it's ironic because a lot of the ribbing or heckling in kitchens is very gay, derogatory, focused in ways like grabbing dicks and like suck my balls and shit like that. And it's weird that people would go there but then be okay with it or not okay with it.
Yeah, we always, when I told another interviewer that after working at for Danny Blute, I can say the F word in like 7 languages now.
Yeah.
And I mean, and were they accepting of gay culture, or was it just like that was just like it didn't or didn't take on, like they're like, oh, we don't mean it like that, we that's just a word we say, but even though that's like not how that
right
really
yeah I mean I was 20 and I was like, I mean, even then I was, you know, I had a boyfriend, but I wasn't out at work, you know, which was a weird, in retrospect it was a weird feeling. I was like living in Manhattan and like working in a French restaurant, you know, like there's no reason like you can't like be gay, but
if there was ever a safe platform,
yeah, I mean, it's gotta be it. So I don't know, but So I sort of created this just to like get some stories about my friends out in the world in some kind of print. So, but it's kind of taken on a new life, and we have we're launching web content. You can see some of the same features from the magazine on the website tomorrow morning. But also, there's some additional stuff that's going to be on there, new recipes and stuff too. And so,
how often is the magazine coming out?
So we're going to do 4 times a year. Awesome. So they won't be like totally seasonal. Well, the next one that comes out will be sort of a late summer issue.
Sure. Yeah. That's a season.
Yeah, hey. Yeah. I've heard of that.
I've heard of late summer. Yeah, I mean, we're still technically in spring, and everyone's saying it's summer.
Exactly.
So, because winter was
You look very summery, by the way.
Hey, yeah, hey, quick question. Could you not find your sleeves after the hospital?
No. I left all my sleeves in the hospital and just said, not till winter comes down again.
So, having the magazine out, have you already had people reach out to you that, you know, I'm gay, I work in the food industry, and, you know, thank you for putting these issues out there?
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, some really early adopters that had just seen, like, that pre-ordered effectively the print magazine that just saw the Instagram account, which is sort of where we're sort of the most active. There's a restaurant owner in Richmond, Virginia who wrote really early on and said, you know, he was gay and he was excited for the magazine to come out, and he asked if he could stock it in his restaurant. And so I think, you know, even without reading sort of the details of the story, I think people are interested and excited to have, you know, sort of a small voice, I guess. Not that, you know, we always talk about what makes gay food, and it's just, you know, it's for everybody. We don't want to be exclusive, no, obviously, not. You know what I mean? And especially if you like looking at, like, half-naked guys, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I definitely saw it, and I was like, this is different, and this is great. Yeah. This is just, like, and from a design point of view and an aesthetic point of view, it's just, I was like, you know, you see so much stuff that comes out, and there's so many magazines, so much food stuff now, and it's like, you go, is this authentic? Is this a business? You know, we talk about authenticity all the time, and you look at this and you go, like, no, this is something that is, like, definitely coming from the heart. And that's just from looking at it online. It's not even seeing the magazine.
Oh, cool.
First.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. Speaking of summer, we're going to play a summer song, then we're going to talk about coming back and what it takes to put something like this together and to get it out and have the planning.
Nowhere to run, nowhere to play. I don't know you, but you know me. We could have been something to see. you're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. I thought there was a spark with us, now who am I supposed to trust? You wanted her instead of me, so now we're ancient history. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. You put on your stuff. Really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me. You're really nice, but I just can't. You're so damn sweet, but there's no chance I like you, so you just don't know what about me.
So as you kind of put this together, how did you collect the stories and how do you think that might change with the growing interest for future issues?
Yeah, I think we, you know, I had to kind of do all this, the content on my own. I the features are written by my alter ego. and then I commissioned one piece because I really wanted to get a story from Berlin, which is like my favorite city next to New York.
Yeah.
So I commissioned this author, this guy, Redfern, John Barrett. He wrote a story about this kind of gay currywurst place in West Berlin. And
what's it called?
It's called Fritz & Co.
Okay.
Yeah, it's V Fierce.
V Fierce.
And anyway, so the other feature is like, I think, between 12 and 1,500 words each, and they're sort of based on my friends, one Renato, of course, one Tyler Bourne. And then these sort of detached pieces were commissioned by friends of mine, so they kind of donated their time and energy to it. So moving forward, I think for the second issue, we've had more requests, people who want to contribute artwork and illustrations and stories and playlists and all sorts of stuff. So,
playlists would be right. That's awesome.
The big guys,
yeah,
would be amazing.
Yeah, they're nice guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Doug and Brian?
Yeah.
Hey, oh, and
love them.
Congrats to them. They just dropped their first book.
Yeah, Renato's in it, actually.
I'm in it.
Are you? I'm one of the.
Are you?
Yeah, sorry. Well, yeah.
Oh, maybe you're next to each
other. I feel like all of New York is.
Yeah.
It is literally the most hungover, terrible photo. They're like, no, we won't use that one. That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine's pretty.
Yeah, congrats to them.
Yeah, congrats to them. Their book is. Again, you see something like, how do you put out a cookbook that's different? And that's funny with all the inscriptions in the anyway, so you're saying playlists.
Oh, playlists. Yeah.
So content.
We have a lot of people sort of asking if they can contribute too. So that's really flattering for me because it's people are excited about, you know, what the voice and the sort of the lens that we're talking through.
Yeah. And I mean, and you said you're going to expand digital content as well, right?
Yeah. So everything. So if you didn't get a copy of the issue, which unfortunately is sold out online.
V-late.
Well, not even V-late. It's like P-late.
Yeah. kind of late.
Yeah.
K-late.
So all the features that you can find in the magazine will be online tomorrow. That's Monday morning. Is that the 18th?
Yeah.
The 18th. Yeah. In addition to content that... was this sort of bonus material too. We have a cool illustrator who did some band t-shirts for us too that you might like. And
T-shirts.
Yeah, no, they're really good. Yeah, we won't have t-shirts for sale just yet, but
so. I will definitely rock a t-shirt.
Okay, I'll save you one.
I think it's great. I mean, I think you've created a platform. I mean, that's sort of what you have to do now to be successful. It's never just one piece of content. It's a brand,
right?
And then how you tell that story. Are you gonna do videos?
Would be nice.
Like cooking. I mean, I don't know if you need to do demos.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe we can do like a dinner with the band type show.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
Whatever happened to those guys?
Whatever happened to those guys?
I don't know. I heard they're on this like tour in Europe with punches.
One's in rehab, I think.
Yeah, one's in rehab, or he just got out.
He just got out of 3 months of exhaustion.
What is it?
So in putting together the next stuff, I mean, do you like add 30 pages? Do you like start making this, you know, a 50, 60, 100 page magazine?
I think we'll keep it with a really kind of special format. So you can't see it here on the air, but the everything that comes with the magazine, including the pins and the recipe card, live inside of like a 3-gallon marinade bag. And that's sort of the only format that we want going forward. So
I love it.
Yeah, it's a little conceptual, but so anything that can fit in the bag is technically a magazine in our book.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we will probably we haven't decided if we're going to have a sort of conventional reader like we have for the first issue, but there will definitely will be more content. There'll be at least three full features on people in the food industry in addition to.
Did you write everything? Did you do all the writing in the first one?
I did. Yeah. I didn't want it to be the Mac Show, so I changed my name in the credits. But
what's your name?
Wood Goldfield.
Ooh.
It was going to be Wood Stove, but it was too literal.
I like it.
I like Wood Stove.
Wood Stove.
It's
good. That's a good, like, 70s, like, investigative reporter.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
I know. He gets to the bottom.
Wood Stove here on the scene. It's really lighting up.
He keeps stoking the coals.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, keeps the fire going.
So do you have a sort of, like, a white whale collaborator, like, one that...
Stake it now.
Yeah.
So we can revisit like years from now and be like,
okay. I would like to get a shirtless photo of Frank Bruni on the cover of my magazine.
Pumping iron like Paul Ryan.
Exactly. If anyone knows Frank Bruni personally, you can have him text me.
Well, here's the thing. There's people that know Frank Bruni.
Yeah.
There's people who have enough dirt on Frank Bruni to get that going.
I wonder. Let me know.
Someone's knocking at the door right now.
Yeah.
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 Exactly. Like, we've got it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, we have a really good second issue planned. It's going to be sort of a California focus. There's.
So, are you going thematic each issue?
Yeah, a little bit. This one, we're kind of honing in the concept. We're featuring somebody from New York, so it can't be a full California issue, although this person is from California.
Hmm. Yeah, you can make it whatever you want.
Yeah.
And look, exactly. As they say, haters are going to hate, you know?
No, it's true. Yeah. So I'm leaving this week, actually, to go sort of solidify some of the stories in California.
LA or all around?
LA, San Francisco.
Shout out to LA.
Preach, right?
Got some good food things going on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally. Anyone have suggestions? I'm going to Petit Trois.
Oh, Petit Trois. Okay, get the... Look, that
Darren,
omelet
let's do this off air.
Hold on. I just want to say, Petit Trois, that omelet is no bullshit.
I've heard, right.
You can, okay. Honestly, omelet escargot, no problem.
And also go to Jitlada for, like, amazing Thai food.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're in your Thai food.
Hey, Thai curry over there.
Right. Thai curry.
No, but I'm saying the menu, there's like, 800 menu items, and the last one is just, like, hot. It's, like, hot with a bunch of exclamation points.
It's jungle
and then,
curry.
No. It's just hot and then just proteins, and if you look like us, which is white and Jewish, they're like, you can't order it. I ordered eel bone-in, and they went into they literally was, like, this comic thing. Like, the waiter walked into the kitchen, the door swung one way in, and on the way it came out, it was like, chef looked at you, we'll make it for you. And I was like... and I was like, but I... They're like, no.
Eel bone-in is... It's intense.
That's extreme.
Yeah, it's extreme. And what's going on with Bake this summer? What are you guys getting into? I mean, this is a busy season?
It gets busy in the summer. We just opened up our second store in Tribeca a few months back.
Awesome.
We're doing a little collaborative thing with Ample Hills that we're going to be announcing soon. So expect something fun like that. And we're also doing a night called Coffee Grinder once a month, which is like kind of like a...
Oh, my God.
Little boys' night.
Coffee Grinder.
Yeah.
I can appreciate... Hey, put your radius to point.
Yeah, DJs, awesome. Dancers, everything.
Radius to inside the store?
Pardon me?
The radius is to inside the store?
The radius to inside...
For the grinder.
Oh, yeah. If you
ten
want.
Feet.
Yeah.
Ten
if you
feet.
Want.
10
yeah.
feet.
Wait, is this going to change the whole concept of pour over?
Oh, my God. Or maybe slow drip.
I go more slow drip.
All right, well, I think we'll end on that note. What's the website?
Mouthfeelmag.com.
And the Instagram?
Yeah, Mouthfeel Magazine.
And can people pre-order issue 2 now, or what can they...
No, yeah, that should be up very soon. But definitely check back for the first issue's content.
Be soon,
yeah,
so you don't be late.
And Baked?
Baked, BakedNYC.com, and Brooklyn Baker on Instagram.
You got Brooklyn Baker?
Preach.
Yeah.
Man. That's awesome.
We've had it for a while.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Being really into the Instagram game.
Really, we're just number 2, I think.
Well, we have Johnny Aries coming up live in studio, who's going to play songs off of Unbloomed and talk about Brooklyn, leaving legend, coming to Brooklyn, and all things that. Maybe some Thai curry.
Yeah, who knows?
Maybe
some
curry.
Is it wicked? And can I lick it? Would you taste my bloody teeth?
Johnny, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
You've been very patient in the corner.
Very patient.
How's it going?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
How are you?
It seems like we all had a bit of a good time last night.
A bit too much of a good time.
Yeah? What'd you get into? You get in the mix a little bit?
What didn't I get into?
Oh,
I feel like if we did this show at like noon on Sundays.
No, we'd have people would bail. Yeah. I might bail.
Yeah. I used to do my first radio show when I was in college. We had Fridays off, like to do internships. So I like worked at the college radio station, which is not at all what they intended. You have an 8 a.m. show, which is like you're like at that age, you either stay up or you sleep for an hour. Yeah, either way, when I got the noon show, was like just I got mooned to that. It was good enough. I think 4:30 on a Sunday in Brooklyn seems like just enough time. We're like, we're not going to get publicists being like, he's not gonna make it. He's not. Yeah,
touch of the whiskey.
He's
flu.
So sorry. He's come under it.
But. I was about to be sorry at 2:50.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But 3:15, you're like, all right, I gotta. That's when the guilt kicks in. You're like, it's three. I gotta get out of bed.
Yeah. We booked this after Shame Spiral PM.
Yeah.
So that kicks. The alarm goes off. So welcome, all the New York transplant.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get here?
I moved here 2.5 years ago.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you've been here.
Do you feel settled in? How long does it take to feel settled in?
I felt pretty settled straight away. Uh-huh. I don't know. It's a lot different than England. It's nicer. Everyone's a lot friendlier.
Really?
It's easier to be creative here, I think. People give you more of a chance.
You know, I would love to ask. I've heard these things about England and all the European cities where there is this I don't want to say glass ceiling, but this thing where people are just not, don't try as much or don't allow you to like go above your station in some ways.
I think there's a certain element of, like, you know, putting people in their place.
Hmm. But I feel like, I mean, having lived in a number of U.S. cities, I actually feel it's New York that lets you do it. Like, I lived in Seattle, and I have never met a bunch of haters than the people that I was there, like, trying to do stuff. And, like, it was like New York was the first place I felt was like, oh, you do stuff? I do stuff. Let's do stuff. Yeah, let's do stuff
together. Yeah, yeah. I think people always want to just like, oh, let's go do something, let's go make something.
Yeah, that's like refreshing. I mean, you know, you can meet like various people and everyone's like doing, you know, an interesting project. But definitely like back home, it was like everyone's kind of just waiting for you to, you know, one slip and you're slimed kind of thing.
What happened when you succeeded?
They stopped talking to me.
Oh, yeah. That's also a New York thing too.
So when your first band kind of had it out, where the people start talking to you again, where they're like,
well,
oh,
they were just like, yeah, I don't know, just being mean.
We told you.
I don't know, it will take a lot more than that to, you know, make me feel bad.
But yeah. You're here now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this will be your, what, third New York summer?
It will be, yeah.
I don't think there's a better place to be in the world than New York or even Brooklyn in the summer. It's just, it's explosions.
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to after that bitter winter?
We're doing a short tour in the other band that I play with around Europe for a few weeks, which will be fun. I kind of just want to finish some more music of my own. I don't know, I didn't really get to do much last summer.
Why is that?
We were touring a lot. So.
What's your other, and your other band is?
The Drums.
The Drums.
Shout out to Johnny.
Sorry.
The Drums?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They, in our old loft space, they did like some of their first practice gigs there.
Oh, really?
So we had lived in this old recording studio, and they figured that out, so they would practice in there.
There was like a floating room, and they would come over, and I would like be like passed out, and I wake up to just them knocking away.
Yeah.
That's when they had the girl backup singers, too.
Oh, really?
It's, like,
that's a while
really,
ago.
Really, yeah. Really, like, first back. Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, no, they're sweet. They're very, very kind.
So you're going to be opening and then playing. Are you doing double duty?
Oh, no, I just play guitar and bass for them.
No, but I mean, but you're touring, or you're just not going to do your own solo stuff with them?
No, I mean, there's only a couple of weeks with them in July, but my solo thing, I'm trying to keep, like, a separate thing.
Just church and state? Well, American church and state, yeah. That's a Cross and Prong reference. Do you want to play a song for us?
Yeah.
What are you going to play? What
a song called Body Bag from my first record.
Okay.
One out there for all of us. Body bag. There's one out there for me and you. Sober, so I know it's over. So I cried for you, dream for me too. You left me alone with no word from you. Years have gone by,
Awesome. So let's talk about the new record.
Oh, that new?
The new. What was your inspiration for the new songs?
Are you talking about Unbloomed?
Yeah.
That album came out last year.
Oh. Sorry. My mistake.
Sorry,
I'm back to radio days.
About
yeah. No. Let's talk about Unbloomed before we talk about the new songs that you're writing. Sorry. What was the inspiration behind it?
I think it was just the process of moving from England to New York.
Yeah.
And like letting go of a lot of old things and people and feelings from, you know,
really?
Being in England.
What did you have to let go of from moving here?
I was in a long relationship that ended sourly, and also the breakup of my old band in England. That was kind of like both fairly traumatic.
Was it like one piled on top of the other, or was it like
We were in a band together as well, so it was like it all kind of caved in at the same time.
And the person you want to talk to is probably the person you can't talk to about that, right?
I mean, it's fine. I mean, I'm okay with it now, but it's just like at the time, it was just like it was the band that was like really like, oh god, you know, because I built something pretty good and then it kind of just imploded.
Yeah,
but then moving here was like. It was like, you know, had like a second chance at life, I suppose.
Did you have to deal with, were there any like reverberations of moving here? Or did you kind of like put it to bed and then come here? Or did some of it follow across the pond?
Oh, no. It's like when I came, it was like a whole, you know, a clean slate, which is what I wanted. So I was like, you know, I just want to come here, like take some time, write some new songs.
That's sort of the beauty of New York.
Yeah.
You know?
So come here. What was it about those times and things that kind of came into the songs for the record?
Well, I think, you know, the cultural differences were, like, so stark for me, you know, like, everyone being so welcoming and friendly and everything being so relaxed.
Which is crazy that you never hear that about New Yorkers, but I've also found the way the people in this city are actually pretty friendly.
I think that grumpy, mean New Yorker thing is, like, some holdover from the 70s. I remember the first time we went up, and people were like, people in New York, this was when we were, like, Philadelphia, and we took the train up in the 90s. And we were just, like, standing on the corner, like, so afraid, and some guy, just, like, business dude was like, are you lost? And we're like, we're trying to get to Canal Street. He's like, here you go. And, like, put us on the train. And I was like, oh, New Yorkers are really nice. Yeah.
And they send you...
What?
They send you to Canal Street.
Well, we wanted to go there. He said take the R down to Prince and then walk over. He's a nice guy. But, I mean, people are friendly here.
People are direct. I like that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I guess direct versus, like, a passive aggressiveness.
I just, there's nothing worse than, you know, everyone's like shrouding how they really feel and being snidey, and I just can't tolerate that.
Like a proper, go fuck yourself. You're like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for letting me know how we stand. That's great. Thanks. Do you want to get a coffee? No, go fuck yourself. Yeah.
I mean, nothing is worse than like hanging out with somebody and then be like, that went really well. And then you like leave and then you just hear it's like, that didn't go well. Like, what did we just talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So for writing these songs, do you think that you're able to like get everything kind of out and onto the record, like a cathartic type of process?
I think so. I mean, I suppose if you look at it, the tone of the record is fairly miserable, but it's not, you know, for me, it's not miserable. It's like, I don't know, it's like, yeah, it's like, what's that release? So
I mean, you put that sadness into the record and then it's not mm-hmm. in here anymore.
Yeah, which is probably why the next one that I'm just about to finish sounds so different.
Happy?
Oh, yeah, it's way more upbeat. So.
Brooklyn Summer, right?
That one's about, I don't know, lots of things. Going out in Brooklyn and doing bad things.
Oh, yeah, like almost canceling a radio show.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't have canceled.
I'm just kidding.
I mean,
that's a great name. You should. I'm just saying, going out in Brooklyn and doing bad things is not the worst name for an album. We'll put that in the main column.
For playing the old songs now, does it just kind of, is it like a bittersweet, or like, is it just playing the songs, or do the emotions come back as well?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes I just try and enjoy them, like, you know, yeah, for what they are. But
I mean, they're good songs. They're great songs.
Thank you.
And just get them out. I mean, do you like play them more and more, and they become less of like an emotional thing, and they're just more?
No,
like, the songs
I think, like, you know, when you play them, it's just like, I don't know, I'm a fairly emotional kind of guy, so it's like, it doesn't take a lot to like, oh, you know, I'm thinking about it, or it's like, oh, that's about that. But
fair enough.
But if I didn't get, you know, wrenched up about it, or it didn't move in any way, what's the point in like making it or recording it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure someone listens to those songs and go like, ah, thank fucking God I'm not the only one who's like going through this stuff.
Yeah, I suppose.
Do you want to play another? Do you want to play another song?
Yeah.
Which one's this?
This is I'm a Dreamer.
Good crackle.
Yeah, what is that?
That's a sound of a live song. So I know you started to kind of touch on it, but what are going to be some of the themes for the new songs?
I think just, I don't know, rediscovering myself after, you know, like moving here and going out, actually having some fun, not being so miserable.
Do you remember the first night that you were out where you're like, shit, things aren't so bad? Like, what was
the
it?
The first few days were crazy because it was like super hot, and I wasn't used to like how hot it would be, and I was like, oh, I hope it's not going to be this like humid all the time, you know. And it is. Yeah. And it only gets worse.
Last summer wasn't too bad. The summer before was brutal.
That first summer I moved here, it was just like 100 degrees every day or something like that.
Yeah.
After your first few days, what kind of happened?
I was just meeting all these new people and stuff, and it was like, you know, I had to kind of dispel like my old ways of dealing with people, which is good. You know, it was kind of relearning like social skills, and just, it's like I was like re-entering the world or something after like being in like detention or something. But it was fun. It was good. You know, it's like nice to rediscover.
Have you had a good time discovering like maybe art or the food in Brooklyn?
I have. I mean, I try to go as many shows and things as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some good spots for food and stuff. There's I live by the Jefferson stop.
Mm.
So there's some good things around there.
There's this new sandwich shop, Hi Hello, which is out there, like literally right on the corner when you pop out of Jefferson.
Okay.
You should go there.
I haven't been there yet.
It's the same guys who own Phil from Momo Sushi Shack.
Oh.
What are some of your favorite spots out there?
That's one. That's right here.
Yeah.
But by the Jefferson stop. Guacoco is okay. I don't know. I don't want to say anything that's better than anything else.
No. Okay.
Very diplomatic. Okay.
Have you found a good Thai curry spot?
I haven't. I'm looking.
I think you got to go to Queens. I think you got to go.
I don't know how many places in like the Bushwick, Williamsburg, Greenpoint area for like Chinese, Thai curry, Indian.
Is there a good Italian around here as well? I haven't found one.
No.
Well, I mean, a resounding
some,
no.
I mean, there's some old.
I like La Nona, which was on Bedford and now I think is over on Kent. It's this like Italian pizza shop that makes everything to order. Fiore's not bad.
What's that old place that's like off
Bamante's?
Off of Union. Which is like all old, like checkered tablecloth, like been there for. It's in like a million old movies as well.
It's like over 100 years old, and it's just at some point instead of going to the market, they start going to Cisco.
Yeah, I said it. So besides touring this summer, what else are you up to?
Just finishing my second record, and then I want to do some like writing for other people.
Mm.
I think it's a good, interesting thing.
In the same vein, or
no? Like just like try and push myself a little bit, you know, expand my skill set.
What's it like the process of writing for someone else? Do you write songs that try and be like that they would write, or do you just go, here's a song I think you can really knock out of the park?
Well, sometimes you have that, you know, you can create an idea and then like you think, oh, this person would sound amazing singing it.
Yeah.
Or you just think, oh, this like, you know, this song's like born for them.
Yeah.
Or other times it's nice to have like a someone be like, oh, it'd be nice to put these kind of elements together, like, you know, some like drum machines or some like different synthesized sounds. And that's like a good challenge for me. If someone's like, oh, I want you to like make something like this.
That's awesome.
So where can people see you? Are you playing it all this summer in New York?
Yeah, I have a show on the 11th for Northside Festival.
Amazing.
At the Gutter, I think.
At the where?
At the Gutter.
Okay. Oh, great. Wait, at the Gutter?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they setting up a stage in the Gutter?
I have no idea.
That's a tight space.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
Right in the bowling lanes.
Yeah, lane 7-8.
Dude, just like, just straight out of Jersey Boys. They tried to play, in some bowling lanes. Yeah, full circle, okay. People.
Okay. And then if people want to check you out in Europe this summer, where are you playing?
We're doing loads of European festivals. We're starting in Portugal. I can't remember the name of all the festivals, but they're a bunch of random ones.
It's festival season. I think it starts this weekend. I think BBC Radio 1 has the kickoff to festival season.
There was Hangout Fest this past
week. No, I'm talking about the European festival season starts this weekend.
Great Escape was last
Great Escape, yeah.
Great Escape. It's wait, have you been back to London since you left?
I knew at Christmas.
Yeah?
It was Christmas.
Was it under the radar, though?
Or it was weird. It was like, you know, things are, you know, always change there so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you leave any city where it's just like constantly evolving.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think England's very like tabloidy, or London's very like tabloidy, you know, everything's very like, gotta be really quick, snappy, like onto the brand new thing. But here, I feel like, you know, there's time for people to digest, even though everyone's like always doing stuff really quickly.
Like,
there's more time to appreciate and digest things.
I think growing up looking at the London music scene, you're just like, wasn't that band like the hottest shit like a month ago? Yeah. And then they're just like out.
I hate that whole approach. It's like,
you know. you mean the enemy model?
Yeah.
Dude, they're just like, I'm like, who is this band? Wait, let me go back. Wait, they're not even in the next issue?
Yeah.
Pitchfork used to do that a little bit too.
Not like that. Yeah. So where can people find the record, find music?
Unbloom's on iTunes, and there will eventually be some limited vinyl for that.
Oh, okay.
God, I love that. I love that physical, like, it's real.
No, I'm waiting on some of those at the moment, but yeah, the next one will definitely be like on all formats. But yeah, Unblames, you can get it on iTunes. So
okay, great.
Instagram, Twitter, any of that?
Yep, Johnny Aries on Instagram and Twitter.
What's your game? What's the Instagram game like? Is it
a lot of selfies? No, it's not really.
a lot of duck lips.
No, not for me. I don't know. What is it like? I can't even remember. My brain's so bad right now.
That's okay. We're gonna take you off the hook.
Yeah, we're gonna let you
Please.
Go.
Yeah.
Talking.
I mean, if I get to make a mistake on when your record come out, you can be a little brain dead too. So we'll go one for one.
Well, shout out to everyone. Thank you guys for coming. Mouthfeel, check it out. Thank you to Heritage, as always. To Liz, Mom, Dad, Anna, my dog Joe. Greg, I'm so happy you're out.
Do you just like thank everyone now?
You know, things change, man. You know, life moves pretty fast.
Mrs. Agiba, first grade, you taught me how to read and how to make, like, cursive R's. Like, it just really changed everything.
Hey, man, I'm feeling in a good mood, and I'm sending out some love to some people. Yeah?
Me too.
Shout out to PJ. Love PJ. Love him. All right,
Johnny, what are you gonna take us out with?
It's a song called Amulet off Von Bloom.
Great. Right, thanks. We'll be gone next week, and then we'll be back after that.
I mean, if you want to talk about the perfect way just to end on a real thoughtful thing,
yeah.
We'll be gone and then we'll be here. All right, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Ready in a crisis, I found myself devoid of confidence. Every hurtful word is like a razor blade. So I fell in your shoe, Ambulet. Don't take me from the world. I'm just like other girls. I'm just like other girls, oh Ambulet. I don't wanna cry again. Treat me like a normal human. Anything can feel the same. Every hurtful word is like a razor blade. It's all a fellow mission. Other girls, I'm just like other girls, oh Ambulet. Don't take me from the world. I'm just like other girls. I'm just like other girls, Ambulet.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.